The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
What's up, everybody? This is Sean. Welcome back to another episode of The Push. I'm here today with my co-host. What's up with y'all?
Maintaining. You know how I do. It's Dwayne Libra Icon. Life is lifing. Change is happening. But I'm here. I'm back. Hated to cut it short last week, but I know y'all killed it. And I'm ready to make it four again.
What's up? Benny, what's up, bro?
Nothing much, you know, just maintaining, even though it's not raining right now, which is good, you know, for South Florida in August, but, you know, everything's good down here, you know, rates are going down, which is good. That's basically it.
And we finally got my man Derek on the mic. What's up, bro? Welcome to The Push. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Let's talk wrestling and things of that nature.
We definitely gonna get into that. Well, the first thing that we're gonna talk about, I don't know what the hell it is. It might be wrestling. Let's kind of chop it up about Raw Underground. So this is the first time that we've gotten together since Raw Underground has debuted. It's been a couple weeks. So let's kind of jump in with initial thoughts on what's your perception of this new trick to spike the ratings for WWE.
What the fuck? There we go.
That's a way to start. And appropriate.
I don't know. It's like when we saw that Shane McMahon was announced as coming back, you know, we were just kind of wondering, what is he coming back for? The next thing you know, he's dressed in some, like, kind of like army throwback gear and people surrounded around the ring, beating the hell out of each other. I'm like, oh, okay. Is this the Raw is Raw intro again from back in the day? You see anybody fighting the intro and everything? It's like, oh, you doing this again?
So here's my thing. As an actual UFC fan who was at least somewhat disappointed in DC losing last night, it's like WWE's version of UFC, just like how they always have their version of something else, and this just fits right in. So, you know, upon first glance, it's like, okay. And then I see Shane, it's like, okay. But there was one good part, which actually goes to UFC, with a former UFC's, well, she was never really a star there. Mm-hmm. But Shayna actually gave it a little bit of oomph. As much as Shayna can give anything outside of her appearances on YouTube with Jessamyn Duke, which actually are quite entertaining.
They are.
But
They are.
But, you know, so we'll see where it goes with the Shayna thing. I think that's the part that I'm at least somewhat interested in.
Did you really need Shane McMahon there? Did that have to be a Shane McMahon idea? You know, to your point, Benny, about it being their version of UFC, just to me, the presentation looks like a basement UFC / fake ass brawl for all, man. I really don't know what's going on. I don't know the purpose. Like, where is this supposed to go? You know? And, you know, if WWE and storylines usually have to do with stakes or personal issues or something like that to draw folks in, or even characters. Are you going to develop characters from Raw Underground? I just, there's too many questions. And for the first couple weeks, the only thing that really sticks out to me is, well, are three things. Why the hell is Shane McMahon there? And I will agree that Shayna Baszler actually gave it a good moment. But the other good moment was just seeing that first week when MVP Lashley and Shelton Benjamin ran through at the end and whooped everybody's ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which totally wiped out all the no-names that we had saw the entire hour before. So,
well, also another thing I was enjoying is that Swerve was losing his money. That means he should be back in the PC center, honing up his craft instead of just wasting money on matches and everything. So
that's true. And where you had that concoction of Brawl for All and UFC mix, there was another thing that it looked like to me as well. That was Lucha Underground. So, the whole brown, dusty room kind of environment. I was like, okay. I'm like, and then Shane kind of wearing the fake army fatigues and looked like he hadn't cut his hair in weeks. I guess that was the underground look, but it was just not a – it was just like, Here's the thing.
How was his kicks looking, though? How was his kicks looking? That's the thing I want to know.
You know, Shane McMahon's kicks always look fresh.
Woman, with his kicks fresh?
Right. That is so true, man.
You can be dusty head to ankle, but them shoes
are going to be dusty.
Fresh.
Those shoes are probably going to be. And I was just like, and I mean, if you wanted, I agree with all y'all when you say, the point of Shane McMahon, like, y'all couldn't find somebody. I mean, not that Shane ain't charismatic. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Do not get me wrong on that. But, you know, it's like, It's just so much behind it. I guess that's, you know how Peter on Family Guy, he just goes,
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. It's just like,
Like, the only thing that I can think about is that for some reason, and, you know, I've enjoyed Shane McMahon in spaces at different times. Matter of fact, I just looked at his Backlash match in 2001 against Big Show when he took that unnecessary jump off the stage. Crazy as hell. Thought he was dead.
He stage diving.
Man, you know what I mean? Between him and Foley taking bumps.
Dude, I don't know how they alive. It's
right. Crazy. Now, how are y'all still living, sir?
Right.
How are you walking? Understand?
I feel like it just goes back to that old thought of Vince McMahon's, like, if I put Shane on TV, that's going to bring the ratings. That's going to bring people back.
I think he still hung up on the fact that when Shane came back after almost 9-year hiatus, like, the pop was just so big, which was a great moment, don't get me wrong, because that was pretty cool, because, you know, when he left, you know, and did his thing, of course we all knew he was coming back, we just didn't know when he was coming back. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, Shane McMahon's back, but it's especially right now, like, there's no pop for, there's no crowd, there's no real crowd. I'm not counting the NXT plants as crowd members because they're just plants. That's all they are.
Right.
So there's no real pop. And, you know, like, when I was watching evolution of Shane, like, biggest pops, you know, like Austin McMahon, you know, how 97, 98 was crazy, and then when Shane came back, that was a great moment, but you just don't have that natural pop, and it's just not the same. I think maybe, and we're going to touch on this a little bit later, but I'm wondering if they're going to just solely use the PC for Raw Underground while the main shows move to the Amway Center, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
I think the difference between the other times that Shane came back and now is that Shane came back now after that whole best in the world nonsense, mm-hmm. which I don't think people were really feeling. So it's not like, right. you know, he came back as the conquering hero, particularly, you know, when he came back after the several years long hiatus. It's like, oh, snap, it's Shane. Okay, let's go. Let's go. But, you know, after that whole, I'm the best in the world. I'm like, okay. So,
oh,
you
know, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Ew.
So, yeah, coming back off that, you know, it's a little bit different. And actually, Dwayne brought up something really good with Lucha Underground. I mean, yeah, Shane's kicks have always been on point. I will say that. But as far as the rest of his outfit, he's got a long way to go before he gets to Dario Cueto.
So I guess we can just go around and kind of see just what everybody's thoughts on where Raw Underground could potentially go. Do you see potential? Is this something that can bring viewers back? Because it's not the fans. It's not the pandemic. It's not the lack of real fans, non-plants in the arena or in the PC, excuse me. None of what the WWE thinks is the problem is really the problem. It's, you know, just there's no creativity. It's the old shit. You know, it's the same old, same old. It's everything that we don't want to see that they give us. Can Raw Underground be the thing that brings people back to watching WWE? Can it make a star?
In the words of another South Floridian, next question.
No, I believe it's a good concept, but you need somebody that they can really make a star factor out of in that scenario. You can't just be having random, like when the Hurt Business came there, we was like, okay, this could be something good for them, but you know, they have their own thing, they want to be on the main roster. But if you have somebody solid there that you can just build the concept around, then yeah, you get Raw Underground will can get people talking. But if you just have them, just random people, Riddick Moss, the big tall Babatunde, whatever his name is.
Oh my
that God. Guy. You know, just somebody that you can just like, okay, you can they can build stars out of anybody, but let's just actually do it. And that's the thing is that they would need to do is just actually build around somebody who can make bring the eyes to the product.
What about building Raw Underground around the MMA or horsewomen that are currently active in WWE?
Yeah, you need more women. It could help. If you do have, I mean, maybe, never mind. I was going to say, if you're going to do MMA, maybe have Riddle there, but not with the whole bro concept that he's got going on. That's not going to work. So, but I think I do see, you know, the possibility, but creative needs something, because what they got going on with this consolidation of Bruce Pritchard and his writers is horrible. So it's barely watchable. It's barely watchable, you know. It like you said, it's definitely not the reason, you know, the current situation. Like, I think what they had going on with, you know, what they had with Heyman was giving it hope, and then you know, I guess Heyman clashed with a lot of people, and that kind of took that away.
AJ.
Yeah, exactly. and so, you know, it's just something needs, it can work, but it needs the right people. It needs the star development, like Derek said. And do we really need Shane McMahon there for that? Especially coming off the Best in the World and the whole, you know, like, you know, the whole Kevin Owens thing. You're banned from WWE. You're fired. But, you know,
I mean, we know that wasn't
WWE.
Nobody stays.
It's WWE. Nobody's ever fired.
Remember, John Cena got fired and he was right back the next week.
And same with Stone Cold, you know, so yeah.
Hey, Mr. Man blew up in his limo, so hey.
And yo, he died and came right back the very next show.
The very next show. It was me, Austin. It was me. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, it can work, but creative needs to be more creative with it.
And just to go off your point, I don't even sometimes think it's the writers. You know, the writers and Bruce Pritchard and anybody can write anything. But at the end of the day, it all goes to Vince McMahon.
Yep. Vince is the final say-all.
Yeah, I forgot that part.
So if somebody writes something fire, if something, you know, is a real good idea and it makes it all the way up to the chain and the boss man don't like it, that's how you get all these
stories. Just think about this.
That it's rewritten.
Just think about this. We have three black men running around calling themselves the Hurt Business on Monday Night Raw. That, you know, MVP might have Vince's ear. So if MVP can keep on showing that he has good ideas, maybe he can be that moving force to get that mid-card level up to where it needs to be.
Yeah. I totally agree. All right. Well, let's transition from Raw Underground to another phenomenon that's hit Raw and SmackDown over the past few weeks. We have a group of hooded individuals causing mayhem, messing with the light switches and throwing tantrums. I'm sorry, not throwing tantrums, but destroying property backstage and jumping superstars. A group
almost decapitated Corey Graves.
A group called Retribution. Who are these little kids? What do we think?
No, Derek's not Retribution.
Nope.
Consider it says not Retribution on his name tag.
So for what I've just been reading, kind of like to read, like get certain little backstories and everything. I mean, they're not really giving out those names. You keep hearing alluding like the Vanessa Bourne's, the Chelsea Greens. You hear those names. You might hear Tommaso Ciampa here and there. But who really knows who these individuals are? I mean, it's just, well, just think about it. Nexus came onto the scene. You know, we saw them in the whole NXT game show concept. We knew who they were. They came out, kicked everybody's ass when Raw was going off the air. And they made an impact in some kind of way. The Shield. They came because they were looking to undo the injustices in the WWE. They had a solid impact going forward. Now, with this group, I see a lot of references to Antifa and Black Lives Matter and things like that. So, is this the whole rollout is really just bothering me? I'm all good for good faction coming in, fucking shit up and everything, but this is just really hasn't really caught my attention. So you need to start. It's kind of like what Aces and Eights were in TNA some years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we started seeing them running around, running rampant, and it was just like, okay, y'all cool, but need to get the storyline advanced. Who are you guys? Yeah. You want to know who it is?
Like at this point, get to the point. Like, right. Who are you? What's your purpose? You know, just kind of going off what you said. Those other factions hit the scene, and we knew what it was. You know, even if we weren't as familiar with them, we know what their purpose was. Right now, they just look like a whole bunch of people throwing temper tantrums. Like, why?
Hell, NWO had a slow build.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah. But it's like, yo, why are you attacking people? What if your name is Retribution? What are you getting retribution for? Who are you targeting? Right. You know. Yeah. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, the thing I remember was not this past Friday, but the Friday before when I was watching and seeing Corey Graves almost get decapitated. like they were pretty, I was just like, A, what the hell is this? B, why is there a chainsaw? C.
Right. Yes. Random as hell. Yo, and rev that thing up. And what did that person do? Cut the rope.
Cut the rope.
I'm like, bro, get out.
He pulled a chainsaw. I was like, where did you get a chainsaw from, sir? Where was this?
Like, was the Home Depot or Lowe's nearby? Like, really? Like, what the hell, man?
This Friday, they kind of, like, messed up catering and beat up some referees and everything, so.
Yeah.
And everybody, they had the whole, everybody was out, the superstars was out doing the match and everything, and then.
And you know what was stupid about that? Is that they were playing the backstage attack on the screen. Like, so what are y'all doing? Y'all just standing there around the ring watching them beat up referees?
And then the one ref comes out there saying, we need y'all help in the back.
Like they couldn't see it on the screen already.
Right.
And then
we need your help in the back.
And comes back. Retribution is magically gone and nobody's at ringside anymore.
So just how we were talking about Raw Underground being WWE's version of UFC or Fight Club or Lucha Underground. Retribution is WWE's version of the Dark Order.
Okay.
Now that I've been getting into, it makes sense now.
I mean, you know, just the mysterious looking guys. I mean, yeah, we knew. I was about to say Pizzeria Uno. I've been listening to too much Cornette. And Stu Grayson, I mean, we knew who they were, but you know, the other guys just had on the masks and everything, and you know, they, you know, run out there and do their stuff, and that's what it seems like. So don't be surprised if on Sunday, you know, we see some mid-card person develop as their leader. Like, okay, here I am, Mr. Leader, and it's probably going to be somebody who, you know what? It might just be Robert Stone doing his best Tony Khan impression, since everybody says that Brody Lee was doing his best Vince McMahon impression. So, you know, if we're going to go Dark Order, let's not go Dark Order on 6. Let's go Dark Order on 10 and just do the whole thing.
Like, so at my point, with Retribution, I just want them to get to the point. That's it. Mike, who are you?
Like, yeah, right.
We got a Raw and a SmackDown to go before SummerSlam. So Monday is the last one from the Performance Center before they move to Orlando on Friday. Like,
wait, they say this rumored. They look, it's quote unquote rumored that they're moving.
Rumored.
They think we're not smart, you know.
At some point in this next 7 days, we need to know more about Retribution. Because now, the talk online is way different than other groups when they debut. Retribution is literally a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you're not taking them serious. Like, even, you know, somebody mentioned the game show that was NXT before its current iteration. Even in that game show function, when Nexus came out, it was like,
we knew who they were.
We knew.
You know, we knew what they were, and it was like, oh, they choking motherfuckers, you know? Like, you know, they coming to take this shit over.
Right.
Reminiscent of XYZ. But Retribution is like, What y'all
do? I thought they were just Tozawa's ninjas on steroids.
Dude, the first time I saw it, I thought...
Right, when we saw it, I was like, oh, Tozawa's ninjas causing trouble? Okay.
Like, and the only reason why I changed my mind on that is because I looked around and I couldn't see the big one.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for the big one.
But then I realized that Tozawa fired him as a ninja, so man can hire him as
a big man
underground bouncer.
He's like, "Hey, big man, yeah. How's things going?" I'm like, "What?"
So the plan is to move to the Amway Center in Orlando for live Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views. The current agreement with the Amway Center runs through October 30th, with no fans present. After October 30th, there's expected to be negotiations for a deal for the remainder of the year. Like I said, the current agreement is no fans, so the WWE will have virtual fans, kind of like MLB and the NBA are doing right now. WWE will have LED boards, and also current WWE superstars and legends will be participating as virtual fans as well. The reports that I saw said they have like 2,500 square feet of LED boards set aside for this virtual fan experience, and they're going to put applications online for people to be virtual fans. So, hey, y'all, I might apply, you know, and get my face up on Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, I know they can't hear me, but, you know.
They'll sure see your face.
Yeah, I was about to say, yo, I've been told for years my face says a lot. So, you know. So I might apply.
This shit sucks.
But word is at this time, NXT will stay at Full Sail for Wednesday shows, but no word if NXT TakeOvers will stay at Full Sail or they'll move to the Amway Center as well. So, yeah, guys, what's your thoughts on WWE moving out of the Performance Center and to the home of the Orlando Magic?
Will it magically change the product?
Yeah.
No.
Wayne's still not happy.
I'm not. It's not going to, I mean, I'm going to miss the Ceiling Fan because Ceiling Fan Mania was excellent.
You know what made me mad? I heard a report saying that WWE was aware of how much commentary online about the Ceiling Fan, so they started to have a digital ceiling during Raw and SmackDown so you wouldn't see all the fans. I was like, man, that's petty as hell. You know what I mean?
Right.
One damn thing that we enjoy, y'all won't take away.
That's what happens.
We can't have nice things.
When it's something that gets over with us without their doing, they don't like it. They get rid of it quickly.
So, yeah, I'm not. And I get. I mean, are they going to keep Raw Underground at the Amway Center? They're going to put it in the boiler room. Like, oh, how's that going? And will Mankind be hiding in that inside boiler room? So yeah. I just have a lot of questions about it. And I mean, I guess that's really at the end of the day. I guess.
That's real. Because I mean, if you look at it, if we're really honest, they're doing something that they could have done at the Performance Center in a bigger place, if that makes sense. Like, the only thing that you're really adding is this virtual fan experience, but you had the technology to do that where you already, I mean, WWE's been running shows consistently since the pandemic, so you could have been the first to do this virtual fan thing.
Right.
Going to a bigger arena, that's not going to really change things. What you think, dude?
I would say they gave them more room to do more things, because with the PC is limited. If you really think about it, it's limited to what they got going on. So with the Amway Center, it's more space to do things. They can at least try to be more creative in what the stories can be and everything. But
empty arena matches.
Haven't they all been?
Right. I'm trying to be optimistic here.
Yo, I feel it.
I love the optimism though.
Oh, I was about to say, yeah, you can go ahead and be optimistic because I'm coming through with the other side. So,
yeah. Hey, go right here. That's what we're here for.
So, there's two things. Number one, when they cut all those people in April, yep. I think it was in April.
Yes.
They said that they were doing that. Why? To cut costs. So, you're telling me that 4 months later, you decide you want to add at least 2 months of rent when you know you're not getting any gate money. You know you're not getting anything from concessions. You know you're not getting anything from t-shirt sales. What are you going to do? Have vendors like outside the Amway Center? Virtual vendors distance 6 feet apart to try to get shirts? I'm telling you. You stand on the west side of that building, you're going to be burning. Because I've been there. That ain't nothing nice. So there's that part. You're adding expenses here. Although, you know, seeing Vince spend some of the record profits that they had while they were cutting all those people back in April, you know, you want to kind of stimulate Central Florida's economy. All right, cool. Which leads me to my other point. I'm a Floridian who has worked in politics for a very long time. I'm not now, currently, but that October 30th date. What's coming 4 days later?
Elections.
Now, I do know that the Orlando City Brass and the Orange County Brass have not been nearly as receptive to WWE putting on shows as Governor Ron DeDoofus. Sorry, Sean, if you have to edit that for YouTube. that's pretty much common knowledge. Now, I don't know if this is Vince's way of trying to butter them up if they win, or if maybe Vince is hoping that some of those powers that be end up losing in their elections, and so he can deal with some people who might be a little bit more friendly to his business interests. But there's something in there. It's like, you just don't pay rent somewhere, especially not there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have your own buildings, you've been doing this for a while and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, shoot, they had a pay-per-view from their office.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
Oh, the office that they're moving out of.
Yeah,
right. They got money to move there.
Mm. See, and that's another thing. You're paying this money. That could be going towards moving costs. So something tells me that there is a money trail somewhere. I don't necessarily know if there's a rich white man like Chris Tucker was talking about in Rush Hour at the end of it, but there's a trail somewhere. And until we know where that trail leads to, whether it's to Mall of the Millennia or out by Disney or Universal, or if it goes out to Altamonte Springs, there's a trail that goes somewhere. And until we find out where that trail goes, we're not really going to have the whole story about this whole Amway Center move.
That's real. That's real. Because wouldn't all the speculation before the Amway Center thing came out is that they were looking for like a boat or something.
Right.
So you go from looking for a boat, something like that, to now just flipped out of the blue. Now you got a whole arena damn near to yourselves for the rest of the year. Like, they're literally setting up shop outside the Amway Center. Like, they ain't moving for a while. And they're not. They're going to be there for a minute.
So I mean, yeah. Magic ain't using it, so hey.
Well, you know, Linda got the pack down there, and they've been deemed essential employees. So you know, some money is being greed somewhere in somebody's pockets.
Oh, and that's the other part of the news that isn't really talked about. So now that WWE is moving Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view to the Amway Center, guess what's starting back the following week? Classes at the PC.
Yeah, because they haven't really been able to, like, teach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not down in that area, but I'm wondering, Benny, I really want to hear your insight on that, considering how many prospects live in that area, and that's technically a training facility / gym. Is that something that they're supposed to do right now?
Probably not, but as Derek said, there are 18 and a half million reasons why they might let that go.
Yeah.
But my thing is this, if you're going to do it for the training, then that leads me to think there's somebody in particular that they want to train.
Mm.
There's somebody, I don't know if it's Ridge Holland, they want to try to really push him forward. Although I remember the last time they tried to push somebody like that whose, you know, name began with R. But anyway, or maybe even it could be somebody else.
Her last name starts with Johnson.
Ah. There we go.
Her last
name. There we go. Father on the Football League now?
Yep.
Yep.
Simone Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that she, you know.
Because we need to talk about NXT TakeOver, where Karrion Kross does have his NXT championship match against Keith Lee. But before we get to that match, let's start off with what's not official at this moment, but it's looking to be a NXT Cruiserweight Championship match again from Santos Escobar versus the man Swerve Isaiah Scott. I'll throw it out there, guys. What do you think about that possible matchup? And who do you see coming out as the winner of that?
I still would say it would be Santos Escobar. They're not going to take the title off of him so quickly.
Right.
And I know they had crosses back in Lucha back, you know, years ago, but I would love to see those two go at it next Saturday.
Definitely, and get some decent time.
Yeah,
I don't mind if Swerve takes the L, but you know, get those guys 15 to 18 minutes just to make some art in the ring, and I'll be good.
Yeah, I think Santos is going to keep the belt, but I agree with basically what both of y'all said. If we have enough time for those moments to be like, holy shit, like we usually do for a takeover show, then
right,
that's going to be good. And for me, I just want to see, you know, just the ring skills, the aerial moves, and see how the match goes, see how the chemistry flows.
I miss that feeling of takeovers. Like you watched, when we watched takeovers in the past, you had that feeling of like, man, this is better than the main show.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling.
Like, because it'd just be like, hey, main roster, y'all ain't gonna. It's like, y'all need to top this. We know you won't, but y'all need to top this.
Right.
So it's like, it's one of those things where, yeah, like, Rona done fucked everything up, man. It's crazy.
This is like the 30th one. So basically, they really have to bring it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, Santos is going to keep the belt, you know, whatever. Honestly, I can't say I'm all that interested. But
what? You don't like my guide.
Sorry. I just looked at my guide, and I see that Dynamite is going to be on from 6 to 8 on Saturday. So, you know, the thing I was thinking was, I was like, well, shoot, if Dynamite starts at 8, and Takeover starts at 7.
You're going to miss this one.
Probably going to try to run their show until about 10:02 or 10:03 just so people can't turn, you know, and watch the end of Dynamite. But if Dynamite's off at 8 o'clock, they don't have to worry about, like, how long the matches are going to be or anything like that. The only thing they might want to do is start off hot.
Exactly.
Try to get people to go over. But other than that, yeah, they're actually in a pretty good position. I don't know why Tony didn't try to push for that 8 o'clock spot. Oh, actually, I do know why. Because Tony Khan wants this to be like WCW and to a lesser extent, NWA. So let's get as close to that 6:05 Saturday afternoon time as we can. Maybe to try to see if that's a good time slot for a second show.
So you going Santos Escobar, Benny?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the ladder match for the vacant NXT North American Championship match. Right now you got Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, and Cameron Grimes in the match. But coming up this Wednesday on NXT, Johnny Gargano and Ridge Holland will face off for one of the remaining spots, and it'll be Finn Balor versus Velveteen Dream for the
Why is he still there?
My questions will be, who are your picks for those last two spots, and who is your pick to be the next NXT North American champion?
I'm going to go with Holland and Dream because they seem to really like Holland. Dream did just come back. And as far as the winner of the match, I don't know if it will be him, but I'm going to say it should be Damian Priest because it's about time to either crap or get off the pot with Damian Priest. It really is. I mean, you know, you had the time when he was punishment Martinez, I'm sorry. Then, you know, you've had him be Damian Priest for like a year and a half now, and he's still in that same spot. You know, we tried him as the Archer of Infamy. We tried him as the Playboy with all the women. You know, we tried all doing the basically what Andrade was doing before they hooked him up with Zelina. You know, we've had him doing all these things, but he hasn't really moved anywhere. It's like a distinction without a difference that they've had going on with him for a year and a half. And finally, if you're going to do something with this man, do it now. Because after this, you know, he really doesn't have any place to go if he doesn't win this match. What are you going to do? Put him to the main roster and have him be the Brody Lee of Retribution? Like, it's the only sensible way that they can go, which of course means that one of the other four is coming.
I feel the same way. Like, I think Damian Priest should get the belt because at this point, he's had so many different storylines, it's like, what is your purpose at this point? So if you don't have nothing for him, why are you still like giving him these opportunities? There's so many inconsistencies with him. It even got to the point where I got him and Kona Reeves mixed up at one point.
Oh god. That's the name I haven't heard in a while.
One thing I'll give Kona, his girl is fine.
Yes. So, but I definitely hope Ridge Holland wins because I'm sick of Johnny Gargano hovering over these mid-card titles. If you're not going to be getting after the main title, why are you still there? You know, are you basically like the Natalya of NXT at this point, just getting people over, or what? And the other one, I would say I would go with I would say Finn Balor to win this match, but I hope he kind of stays away from the title as well. Let's get somebody we can, you know, that can be built up. Like, even give, maybe even push Holland to get the belt at this point. So that's where I stand on it.
Wow. I haven't even seen a Ridge Holland match, so I really don't even know who he is to speak of. Velveteen Dream, he still has that it factor, even though he's been gone and he has that cloud of controversy around surrounding him. But yeah, he still has that it factor. But if he doesn't win, that could set up something with him and Kushida, because Kushida needs something to do in the long run. The win of the title overall, I would definitely say Damian Priest, because isn't the other guy, Dexter Lumis, isn't he out? Is he injured?
Yeah, they pulled him.
Yeah, that would have been my go-to if he wouldn't have been trying to do flips over the top rope and everything.
Yep, that's fine.
Yeah, so Damian Priest, you know, he, like you said, he got to win. Like, with wrestling, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you can have a slow build with somebody and then finally get them over to where the true point where they need to be over. So this might be his point for him.
So I'm going to go with Ridge Holland as well to win that title. I mean, not win the title, but win that match against Johnny Gargano. I really think they put him in a match with Gargano to highlight him, because Johnny Gargano can't get a good match out of pretty much anybody. Finn Balor versus Velveteen Dream. I think that Finn Balor is going to win that match more so to further Velveteen Dream's character change. I don't know if you saw him flip out at the end of his match last week.
Yeah.
I think we're on a road to see something different out of him, and I don't think a win next week will aid that. I think he'll take that L to Finn Balor. And Finn Balor gives you star power. I mean, you need Finn Balor on the TakeOver 30 card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's true. That's a good point.
And you can still utilize Velveteen Dream in another space. So he got 2 weeks of dropping two matches and playing this character change. You can slide him in somewhere else. I feel what everybody is saying about Damian Priest, but I'm going to go with Cameron Grimes on this. I kind of want to see Cameron Grimes get some more shine. When I talk about Damian Priest, I don't think he needs the title more so. He just needs consistency in his character. He needs direction. I don't think he needs a title, because he could get a title and they still fuck him up. You know what I mean? So yeah, win or lose, if he loses, he didn't take the pin. So I don't see how that hurts him. But his run so far reminds me of why we were so frustrated with the first iteration of Bray Wyatt on the main roster. It's like you push him, you get him to the match, and then he loses. So now what's next? You put him in something else, he gets the match, and he loses. You know?
I remember that.
You can't really remember when Damian Priest has won a few. And if you get him in a space where he's starting to overcome, then you're moving in the right direction of advancing him. My fear is that he gets a title and he's not believable because of his past. So, I would kind of caution giving him the belt right now. With Keith Lee as your champion right now, I would love to see a real snot-nosed heel, you know, squeaking out wins here and there, cheating to hold the title in NXT, and I think Cameron Grimes can give you that. So, from the ladder match to the grudge match, let's talk about Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee, the former punter for the Indianapolis Colts. I never thought I would say that in my life. Right. Here we are. But I will say, before I open the floor up to you gentlemen, I was really, really, really high on the segment that he had with Adam Cole on NXT a couple weeks ago during that tag team championship match. I thought that that was one of the best utilizations of a public figure. I don't want to call him a celebrity. that I've seen in a long time. I mean, I just think the whole angle was done perfectly. And, like, we don't know what Pat is going to look like in the ring at all. But from what we know, the boy can kick. And that kick that he delivered to Adam Cole was smooth as shit. And Adam sold that shit beautifully. And then the last image of NXT that night was Shawn Michaels, the great, the GOAT, Shawn Michaels falling over his injured son. It was just so sad. You know what I mean? Like, that was perfect television. Another reason why Shawn Michaels and Triple H should be running Raw and SmackDown. But that's beside the point. Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee. What are your thoughts, guys?
This is going to be interesting. This actually makes me want to just be like, this could actually be one of those matches where it has the potential, it can actually surprise a lot of people. And I think with the whole fact of the matter of, you know, the way that it built up with McAfee going on to, or Cole going on to McAfee's podcast, McAfee criticizing Cole getting pissed off, and then it just goes back to the you know, the match being built, and then, like you said, we know Pat McAfee can kick because that's what he did for 7 years in the NFL, and being able to have Adam Cole there to sell that, I think it's going to make it a very interesting match. You know, when a lot of people transition from football to the squared circle, it's, you don't really believe it, but Pat's had the passion for it and he shows the passion for it. So I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than we think.
I was going to say, I'd hate to be Debbie Downer again, but I like pickles. I like ice cream. I do not like them together. I like Adam Cole. I like Pat McAfee. I hate this. I absolutely hate this. Because I think it was like one of the earlier shows that we did when we were talking about Adam Cole possibly having nothing to do. And I mean, seriously. Like, what good, like Dwayne says, what's the point of this? What good comes from this? If Cole wins, he's supposed to win. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's got Undisputed Era. He's, you know, he's former NXT champion for 400 plus days. If McAfee wins, well, gee, Adam Cole just got beat by
a punter.
Thank you. I was going to say not even a football player, but no, I respect punters and kickers too, like Rich Eisen said. But yeah, he got beat by a punter. In a month, the man will have gone, maybe 2 months. Well, the man will have gone from being longest reigning NXT champion of all time to getting beaten by a punter. And is McAfee even going to be a full-time star after this? So, like, what's the point? Like, I just... there are lots of things in WWE that I can't figure out. This has got to be at the top of the list. Just why? Even Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins makes more sense than this. And man, when we start talking about that match. But anyway, Cole and McAfee. Just why? I mean, I'm sitting here doing the Jackie Chan face right now. Like, why?
So let me throw them some bail real quick. So if you ever, if any of you have ever watched the watch alongs they've had on they do like on Twitter or the other platform, I forget the name of it right now, but they had a long stemming beef for like a couple years now.
Yeah.
And this kind of just boiled over to the podcast, and that led to the blow up, and then that led to Pat kicking him in the chest. He didn't kick him in the head, he kicked him in the chest. Mm-hmm. It went to the chest. I saw the slow-mo. You ain't gonna debate me on it because I'm not gonna change my stance on it.
Oh, we won't debate, sir. That went straight to the chest.
Okay. Can you try to make sure it was going to the head? I said, no, it went straight to the chest. I saw where that foot landed. But they had a long-standing beef that kind of disbanded the past few years. So I guess with Adam, I guess they're trying to look at Adam Cole doing a face run. So here we go. This is how we get him out that heel roll into that face run that they so desperately want him to do. So now, if Pat beats him, it's going to be a lot of clowning, especially come Twitter, because you know we're going to be in them the hashtag giving him the blues. But, you know, it gets my attention just for that aspect alone. But other than that, I really don't like Pat McAfee. So I'm just like, okay.
Because he's a cult, that's why.
See, you just had to go there.
Yeah, I knew that.
You just had to go there.
I knew that.
We're not going to talk about what happened in 84 and what's going on now. We're not going to talk about that.
I knew the reason. I just had to put it out there.
Of course you know. You know.
I know you be more through and through, man. I'm glad you're safe, though. That's the main thing, too.
All right. So let's jump into the title matches that we have left. First, let's go to the women's championship, Dakota Kai versus Io Shirai. I'd like to have a private moment with both of these ladies, but
sir,
that's not
creepcast.
Creepcast.
but to me, I just see the choice is simple. I don't think. I'm glad that Dakota Kai gets his shine on a takeover, especially takeover 30. But I don't see this as the time that they take the title off EO. So it's EO. Good match. Yeah. EO wins.
Same.
This should be the main event to me, because I don't think that, and I know we're about to talk about it right after, but I don't think Keith Lee and Cross can give the type of match to close the show like EO and Dakota could. But yeah, that's just my personal feeling. So yeah, thoughts on the match. What do you think?
Yeah, I have the same thoughts. Like you just put the belt on EO. I mean, Dakota is the perfect heel to challenge for the title. Maybe have a controversial finish where you give Dakota Kai eventually another shot where you build it up and she eventually takes the belt. Don't take it off EO now, but build this up. Make this a good rivalry where Dakota pursues this title and then she eventually gets it and go from there.
But here's the thing. You can't really take it off of EO right now because in the manner that she won it, I still think a certain wrestler, female wrestler that the host, our host, so vaguely go up for on here. I want to come back and say, hey, I didn't get pinned to lose that title, so me and you should have a go before, you know, to kind of settle this one out. So she might have the title for a little bit while a certain person is out of action doing her own thing.
I appreciate you acknowledging the queen.
Glad he did it because I wasn't going to. But but no, I agree with everybody else. I mean, yeah, Io's going to win. I mean, even though I do think Dakota has the best entrance music in wrestling, but it's not going to help her out once that bell rings. So, yeah, I'm going with Io here.
All right, so let's push to the main event. NXT Championship match. Our new champion, Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Woo! I don't know about this one, gentlemen. It's 30 takeovers. This might be my least main event that I've looked forward to. I just don't care about Karrion Kross.
I don't either. And this is where I would love to have my good friend Chef Waits on the line, because he is like the biggest Karrion Kross fan that I have seen so far. So
because I need to know what's the point of this guy, because I don't get it.
The thing about Karrion Kross is Scarlett. She makes him who he is. And
that's what I mean.
Right. So that's just how I see it.
Give me Sable, don't give me Mark Merrow.
Oh, that's it.
I don't need Mark Merrow. Just give me Sable. Mark Merrow never had the belt. So guess what? Karrion Kross don't need it neither.
There you go.
They better not take this fucking belt off Keith Lee. He just got it.
That's my biggest fear. That is my biggest fear of this whole situation. Like he literally just won the belt a month ago. And you want to put this overhyped flavor of the month, who's not even the true star, the lady by your side is the real star of the whole thing. And you want to put, yeah, like you said, Mark Merrow never got a belt. Why the fuck should Karrion Kross get a belt? It doesn't make sense.
And it's Sable Murray, Brock Lesnar, so hey.
And we ain't heard from Sable since.
Are you saying that?
You saying Scarlet Gross.
Kross gold, get left. There
you go. Hey, y'all made a comparison, so say, hey, let's take it further.
There you go.
Gonna be some hot shot coming in the E in a couple years. You know, crawling away from him, crossing, he really gonna be mad.
You're like, wait, I seen this coming. What? How did this happen? Like, sir,
go back to 1997.
Like, sir, Mark Merrow is now a motivational speaker. He can help you deal with this pain.
He can. He will help you get over this, sir.
Are you growling and shit in my screen? Like, what the fuck are you growling and shit in my screen for, dude? Get away. Like, this dude had a bad match against Tommaso Ciampa. How do you do that? I don't get that. Like,
right.
That took me out of the Kross. You know, I saw him here and there, other places. It seemed decent. Nobody I was ever excited to see. But you come into the E, and you got a bad match with Tommaso Ciampa.
Right.
Man, I can't fuck with you, man. I can't. Because that's inexcusable.
It is highly egregious. And I told Chef, you know, shout out to my boy Chef, but I told him, I'm like, Scarlett's the true star here. He didn't say anything after that, but I did tell him, Scarlett's the true star here. Like, he's overhyped. Like, he doesn't have, yeah, it's nothing, nothing there just really makes me go, hey, you're cool. I might like to get behind you. And let alone say, whoa, like, you are fucking awesome. Like, it's not, you're not even worthy. That's how bad it is.
It's like you watch his matches and you're like, okay, so we see he's, we know he's going to win and he's going to get the submission. The guy's going to pass out. And you're like, oh, he's this monster. The NXT superstars, they're not going to need to watch out. And I'm like, you're boring me, sir.
But I feel it in my spirit that Triple H and Shawn Michaels, they know this is not going to work. They know it. That's why they keep putting the camera on Scarlett's face.
Yep.
Like, so they can segue out of it. And cross it. See, I wish this was happening in front of a crowd because, woo.
Oh, this, it would be epic.
So, across the board, I feel like everybody's going with Keith Lee on this, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so that's it for NXT. So,
before you go, what's can up? We give me a yim on in Keith Lee's corner at least?
Okay.
Yeah, you know. So,
if that's your... Is that your creep cast comment for the day?
Yeah, that's my creep cast comment for the day. There we go.
Creep cast! On the SummerSlam, I don't want to deep dive on every match, so I'm going to throw out some matches and just get some quick responses before we get into the real big matches for the card. So, rumored to take place as a part of the show on the pre-show would be a SmackDown tag team title match between Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro versus Lucha House Party.
Yeah.
Going with Nakamura and Cesaro on this one? That's what I'm going with.
Better be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Lucha, I mean, this is them getting this push is all Daniel Bryan's doing, so this is good for them, but they're not getting those titles. Right. Not at all. And Kalisto came back, so that kind of gave them a little momentum back, but they're not going.
Yeah, they've caught fire, you know. Shout out to
fire.
Maybe it's not like a blue flame, kind of like a heavy fire. It's like a snake kind of fire, you know those little snakes instead of a firework, the little snakes. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Also, to happen, Matt Riddle versus King Corbin. Who you got?
I hate King Corbin, but I kind of hope he wins.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. Didn't expect that.
I just don't like people wrestling barefoot. That's all.
That creeps me out. Like, Rusev did it early in his career, and then he got boots on. Matt Riddle does it, and he's like, I'm not changing my style, bro. Like,
yeah, when you break an ankle, you change your style real quick.
Well, I mean, Dexter Lumis had on boots, didn't he?
Yeah. No, didn't help him. All right, so we got Dwayne with Corbin. Who else? Everybody else going with Corbin, or are you going with
Riddle?
Riddle.
Going with the bro that runs the show.
Hey, I like the way that sound. Styles might not like that, but.
Right.
Raw Tag Team Titles, Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza. Who we got on that?
Street Profits.
Yes.
I see Angel and Andrade imploding after this match.
At this point, you got to. Street Profits, I mean, yeah.
So here's a thing that I got a question about that whole situation. They knows how going back we talk about NXT real quick, how they talked about Pat and Adam Cole having a little squabble on Pat's podcast. How come they didn't mention, our good sis Bianca just rolling up to their house, Zelina's house, and laying hands, feet, all that on her while she's doing the live stream, the Twitch live stream.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that happens more times than not, that superstars will advance their storylines on social media, where either it's Twitch or they'll have exchanges on Twitter or Instagram that you can use on TV that would help, but WWE never uses that shit. So, yeah, you know, a smart person.
Keyword smart.
You know, you work smart and you use what you got. And I have no clue why Vince and them didn't.
That had everyone talking over the weekend. So it's like,
Vince probably don't even know what Twitch is.
He just got Twitter like 2 years ago.
I mean, Twitter, I already got that.
No, Vince, Twitch. What the hell is that?
That's something.
It's not tout, sir.
Not tout.
All right, so everybody going with the Street Profits on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Moving on, hair versus hair. Sonya Deville versus Mandy Rose.
Oh, God.
For me, it was Mandy Rose already cut her hair.
Right.
She took the weave out of her hair. She's now wearing her natural length. So,
This should have been dead a long time ago.
So what we're not going to do is disrespect Sonya Deville on this hair.
I'm not disrespecting her. I'm just saying her storyline has been this whole Sonya Mandy thing. They both should have been moved on to different feuds at this point.
That I agree with, because you know she's. I'm over the storyline already, but when I see Sonya on TV, I'm like, okay, that's my girl. I want to see her, you know, kick ass, and if you got to torture Mandy Rose in the process, so be it. You know, Mandy Rose is supposed to be the second coming of Trish Stratus anyway, so.
Hey, that's working out well.
No, I'm not trying to damn Mandy Rose, but you ain't going to be no Trish Stratus. Let's just chill with that.
I mean, think about it. Think about all the, like, the hot blonde girls who comes in and they mess with the fat slob. Well, in Trish Stratus, she didn't have a fat slob, but what's that girl name? Kelly. She had the one dude from ECW.
Mike Knox.
Who?
Mike Knox.
No, not him. The other one.
That was Kelly with Mike Knox.
No, it was the other guy. It was they had the storyline with the Miz. This is when they had the storyline with the Miz. This is when Miz had the little the Extreme Expose. We have to go back and watch that, but
that was Mike Knox.
Yeah, it was Mike Knox.
Dude, what? I promise you, it was not Mike Knox. Mike Knox was not, he was not the face of that storyline. It was
the baby face in that storyline.
Yeah, it wasn't Mike Knox.
Oh, Mike Knox was the one that she was with.
Yeah, she probably was with him. Probably with him, but not.
Who was? I know. Was it Viscera?
It was a white guy.
Anyway.
Yeah,
we
always know how these storylines turns out with the hot blonde girl and the fat guy. I mean, Otis got the Money in the Bank title case, whatever, and they haven't really built no story around that, so. They try to push Mandy along because they want Mandy to be their second couple of Trish Stratus, but it ain't working. She's not getting that.
Was it Matt Stryker?
No.
See now
trying to figure it out. Well, maybe we'll do this. And I was like, really?
Because I thought it was Mike Knox.
It wasn't Mike Knox. It was another
Was it Test?
No, it was a fat guy.
That's a piece.
Hold on, I'm about to
fat guy.
I'm on her Wikipedia page now.
Yeah, it's a mic knock shit.
On her Wikipedia page now. It was this
will probably be the only time that we talk about Mike Knox.
Mike Knox.
Right. Mike Knox like, wait a minute, people talk about me.
Who?
He's like, wait a minute, people talking about me. What's going on? Like, well, she was with Mike Knox. She was with Mike Knox, but it was somebody else. I'm sure. I know I'm not going local.
We gotta run that back and come back next week with it.
All right, go ahead. Let's keep going.
All right, so who we got for the winner of Sonya Deville versus Mandy Rose? So
I'm gonna go with Sonya.
I'm going with Sonya.
Well, dang, I'm going with Mandy.
Okay,
go with Mandy. Be blessed.
I don't want Mandy to win, but I think she's going to.
Be blessed, good sir.
Shane.
All right, from hair versus hair to the battle of the nuts champion. I mean, the United States championships. Sorry.
Oh God, that ugly ass belt.
Y'all like the belt
versus?
I don't like the belt.
It's cool, but it got nuts on them.
Nuts.
Damn, you got a ball sack on it.
Wow. The Eagles face.
You tell me a ball sack on it. So I'm gonna put it out there. Apollo Crews versus MVP for the United States Championship. Y'all tell me who y'all think is gonna win that match, and then I'll show the United States Championship and you tell me that it don't have balls.
I'll go with I wanna go with MVP, but something tells me Apollo's gonna keep it.
I'm going with Apollo. Black wrestlers matter. Hashtag.
We win either way.
Right.
And we're gonna win for sure if they got Teddy Long Jr. refereeing.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you did say that, because I've always wanted to say that, but I just never just like I never just meant to put it in a hashtag and nothing like that. But yes, he does look like Teddy Long's offspring.
But yeah, I actually, you know what? I'm gonna go with MVP. Both okay. From South Florida. Let's get it.
Okay, you're fine. I feel you. I'm going with MVP too. Yeah, so got two MVPs. We got two Apollo Crews. I know you folks listening to the podcast, you can't see this, but I have pulled up the image of the new United States Championship belt, and I am showing the gentleman. And I want one of these three gentlemen to tell me the area that I'm circling right now that those do not look like.
They do look like balls.
Apollo Crews is your ball sack champion.
Sure.
Honestly, the thing that's more concerning to me about that design is that the eagle is in a Big E pose.
Oh. I never thought about that until you said it. Wow. Seth Rollins, Dominic Mysterio, street fight. Let the rant commence.
Why? Why? This is ridiculous. I get Dominic's got the potential and he's been impressing everybody, but this is way, way, way too soon. Like, Seth Rollins is probably at, you know, well, Seth Rollins is the top guy, the top heel, and...
Wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
He's the top heel?
One of them.
I think a certain third generation wrestler who's on that same brand might have something to say about that, but continue, brother.
I mean, Randy Orton is killing it, like... That's because the ancestors have forgiven Randy Orton because he saw the error of his ways. That's why he's a top heel right now. That is why he's a top heel right now. The ancestors forgave Randy Orton. Because other than that...
Okay, all right. point taken with that one.
let's make that perfectly clear. So Seth Rollins is one of the top heels on Raw. Not the one, but one of the top ones. And yeah, the way that he took that candlestick to Dominic on Monday, you actually think I would have given Dominic a snowball's chance in hell of winning this? Yeah, no, Seth Rollins wins. Somebody else talk.
We had to initiate him in that they signed the contract, so that boy got took into the woodshed.
Right.
Like, boy, you're not going to NXT? You're going to take these women.
He said, oh, you're not going to pay your dues? You're going to pay your dues.
Right.
Now, I'm just wondering, was he training at the PC prior to this? You know, just, that's not just the only thing I got, because, you know, he's kind of like hot-shotting into this feud kind of sort of quickly. This is like his second feud in the company, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
It's like the storyline, so to speak, you know.
So you agree with me when I think that his name should be at least Dominic Guerrero Mysterio.
Hey, listen to Dawn on the Rawcast. He calls him Dominic Guerrero for that purpose. That's only that purpose.
Got him. Disrespecting Eddie. You better put my man name.
Put some respect on his name.
Got to.
I don't know. I just, I feel like Papa Ray gonna come out there with his eye bandaged up and Dominic gonna get the win.
Yeah, that would be so disappointing.
That better not happen. I mean, as much as I hate Seth Rollins, Lord knows, I can't, oof. That guy, especially with his old pro company shtick.
Like, yeah, right.
We're trying the best we can. Like, shut up. So, as much as I hate Seth Rollins, Dominic Mysterio, really? But even though we're hot-shotting Dominic into a program with a push to the top wrestler, it is a step down from that first storyline that he had, because that one was with Brock. So,
oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
This is
a step down.
This is his third one.
Yeah, I forgot that. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is third. Okay, this is his third one. Okay, yeah. Ooh, that Brock.
There's that. And then there's the fact, like, you know, we were talking about Samoa Johnson earlier. Samoa Johnson has not been pushed like Dominic Mysterio. And it's like, I'm not even a big Ray fan, but even the biggest Ray apologist has to admit that Ray is nowhere near Rock. So if you have your option of, let's see, which one am I going to put on, you know, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, in their first match, you know, to try to get some appeal and try to get some eyeballs on it, especially when people aren't watching as much, I think 99 people out of 100 would pick Samoa. The other is obviously Vince McMahon.
I get what you're saying, but Dominic has... Samoa could actually be in a match right now.
I don't think Dominic could be in a match.
Well, Dominic's been training with Ray for a while. Like, Ray Mysterio training you is not a bad thing.
I agree with that, but, you know, you can only lead a horse so far. And, I mean, I just don't see it with this kid. Maybe I'm the only one, but I just don't. And it's... Yeah.
I kind of get what you're saying. Like, I don't see him. He damn sure ain't in a space where I feel like he's going to be his dad. But
I don't see him in a space with Seth Rollins.
Be unfair.
Thank you.
I don't want to damn him to Eric Watts. You know what I mean? You know, like, I'm not gonna Charlotte Flair him. I'm not gonna do that. But
you gonna David Flair him?
Whoa. We will not disrespect the good damn name of David Flair on this podcast.
I'm not gonna do that.
Man is a former champion. If he had the nutsack belt before it had a nutsack on it.
You know what?
But even more important, he was putting them nuts up in. Yeah, baby. So look, you dumb as hell for losing it, but hell, he had that Stacy Cleveland. I ain't mad at him. So we can't until Dominic gets some cooch and some success like that. We will not disrespect the good damn name of David Flair. He got him some.
Wow.
That was perfect. I ain't gonna lie.
That was great right there.
All right.
Amen.
So let's go to the women. We're just gonna combine this. So Asuka has two title matches. One versus a Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks, and a SmackDown Championship against Bayley, all in one night. What you think, fellas?
If she working two matches at one night, she need to win both of them and take both of them damn titles.
She goes one and one. Because we know Sasha don't never win no title defense on pay-per-view.
She sure don't.
She sure don't. He is 0-4 and will be 0-5.
I would think that this would be the time to have her win her match, but then have Bayley lose hers. Bayley's been the one with the long reign, been winning all of her matches, and putting Sasha in a bunch of matches. But we've only seen Sasha really do that to Bayley once. And you remember all that TV with Bayley having the belt. And this was before they were tag champions, and Sasha having nothing, you know. So I would like to see that reversed. I would like to see Sasha with the title and Bayley not having the title, and see how that interaction goes. And maybe, like, if you want to talk about something really long-term going on in WWE right now, the only thing that you really got going is Sasha versus Bayley. Like, they're great together right now, but you know what's going to happen at the end of this. They are split.
Oh, yeah. I think they probably would have happened sooner if it wasn't for, I think also because of, I read something, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think they were going to pull that trigger, but because of everything that's happened with this P-word, pandemic, not the other word, but yeah. They are holding off because they really want to put that with a crowd, in front of a crowd, if we ever get a crowd again. Or maybe with the virtual experience at the Amway Center, we might get it.
Sir.
I'm just throwing it out there. Hey, virtual crowd reactions. Why not? If we can't have a live crowd, and you've been kind of like pushing this back, and because they've been solid together and you're further delaying it, and if you really want to put it in front of a crowd, why? I mean, you got a virtual crowd, why not?
I mean, Dwayne's got a point. I mean, you know, we've been wanting them, pleading with them, and begging them to do something, anything, with anybody, for quite a while now, so, you know, that's something. whether we agree with it, whether we think it's good, I mean, that's a different matter, but it's been a different matter with WWE for about 6 years now. But, you know, it's something. I mean, if you know, they at least may be trying.
Right. At least you tried.
But you give Asuka both of these title matches, kind of overbooking her, and really, because we was overbooking Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss on the SmackDown side. You know, you have talent there, hit Naomi, who probably could give her a good run in a match, but they just not pulling it. They just, you know, Asuka comes out and wins the Tribe Grand Battle Royal, and it's like, why? Like, I love Asuka to death, but it's just, you overbook her. But, like, the thing is, she would have to win one of these matches, and I would hate to see the two-woman power trip split, you know, lose a chink in that armor, but it might happen.
Stop calling them that.
Huh?
Stop calling them that.
No, that's what we're calling them. That's what they are.
Okay.
Well, one of them gets a quad injury.
Yeah, when one of them quads there, we're going to point that blame right at you.
You're like, here you go. This is the person you blame.
You put that power trip on somebody. All I hear is a pop.
Like, what happened? Like, looking at me, I'm like, I ain't do it.
But it's like, you know, to your point about overbooking Asuka, you know, they just haven't, you know, with as many ladies that they have on the roster, haven't done a good job, especially on the SmackDown side, building credible challengers for the title. Hell, some of these ladies, I don't even know what brand they on. Like, to be honest with you, I don't know what brand Alexa Bliss or Nikki Cross belong to, because I'm used to seeing them on both.
Right.
I don't know. And then I'm really confused. Like, I've always felt, especially for the last few months, that Raw is stronger on the women's side than SmackDown. Even Raw without Becky and Charlotte is still stronger than SmackDown. That should tell you something. And then they got a and I understand it's because Montez Ford is on Raw, but then you add Bianca Belair to Raw, and then you just up in the ante a little bit more. So you got Mickie James that came back, and you put her on Raw too. Like, that was an opportunity to put, you know, some more talent on the SmackDown side, and they didn't do it. So I'm just really questioning the direction of the SmackDown women's roster as a whole, and that lack of development on that side kind of forced the hand of them to, if you want to have a big match on the SummerSlam pay-per-view, then you were pretty much forced to put Bayley versus Asuka and Sasha versus Asuka. There was nobody else until the queen comes back. But I'm sorry. I didn't have to say that. So, Benny, you said 1-1. Correct?
Yep.
Who you got? Which belt?
I have... You know what? I'm actually gonna flip the two. Y'all have convinced me. I think Sasha will retain, but Asuka beats Bayley.
Okay. Derek, you... What was your pick?
She would have to win the SmackDown title. To kind of advance that storyline.
Dwayne, you going the same way?
Yeah. I, as much as history tells me that Sasha won't retain, it makes sense for Asuka win SmackDown and Sasha retain the Raw.
All right, so you heard it here, everybody. We all think it should be Bayley who loses the Oscar and Sasha retaining, which makes sense to all four of us, which means shit ain't gonna happen. Moving on. The Universal Championship match, Braun Strowman and his fresh bald head versus the Fiend Bray Wyatt. I don't know, guys. I kind of feel like Braun Strowman just turned heel. Does this make The Fiend a babyface? I really don't give a fuck as long as The Fiend gets his title back. What you say?
Yeah, I'm like, that was, yeah, as soon as he said, I don't give a damn about Alexa Bliss, I'm like, okay, well then, I guess heel turn it is.
I think Alexa does something to him because when they was cutting their promo on Friday, he would not look at her until she demanded he looked at her. So I think she kind of stirs something in that beast that kind of he doesn't want to be stirred, you know.
I'm with you, Sean. As long as Bray gets the belt back, The Fiend gets the belt back. Braun's been a great stand-in for Roman Reigns winning the title, but let's put it back on The Fiend, please.
All right.
I mean, I've hated Fiend from the start. I've just absolutely, as a matter of fact, yeah, Firefly Funhouse, what the match at WrestleMania was what made me get rid of the network. I was like, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
That being said, Braun, I mean, the whole thing about Braun being champion, I mean, it's kind of like what y'all said. It's that we know Braun's a stand-in. I mean, is it something different? Yes, because Roman, you know, decided that another path was better for him right now. Okay, cool. But we all knew where this was leading, and it's like, okay, let's just turn the page. Even though I don't want to see those stupid Mr. Rogers type promos again and everything, and this whole, I don't want to see any of that, but we can't turn the next page without turning this page. So for that reason, and that reason only, go Fiend, go.
All I heard, go Fiend, go. I'm going to ignore everything else that you just said. All right, so we got Fiend across the board. Last but not least, what I hope goes on last, WWE Championship match, the redeemed Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. What you say, guys? I kind of feel like Drew McIntyre is going to drop it here.
What's my Twitter handle?
Oh, I already knew where you were going, bro.
Appreciate you.
Great. I already knew that, too. I'm going with Orton on this one. He's back. He's like, this is like the ancestry forgiven, rejuvenated Orton. So, yeah. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, so I would like Drew to win, but I think all signs do point to Orton. And with what he did to Ric Flair on last week on Raw, and with the potential he may do to HBK on Monday night on this upcoming The Go Home Show, this might push him over the over that edge to say, hey, he can win a title, and then they'll build up that long run for him and Edge to have that title match at WrestleMania. So, yeah, Orton, I'll give it to Orton. You know, that, like Dwayne said, the ancestors gave him his redeeming qualities back. So, hey.
Orton all the way. He better not touch Shawn Michaels.
Oh, well, he will. He will. Oh, but he will. All
right, man.
Because if you
was creative how they did his attack on Flair on Monday. I was worried about that. I was like, yo, you can't really touch Ric Flair right now.
Right. So he had to do the lights.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was retribution fucking up at flipping the playing with the lights at the right time, but whatever. You know,
those pesky kids.
Darn kids. Get off my
But here's the thing about when HBK come to Raw. Now, remember when Drew McIntyre first was signed, you know, years ago, and they was saying he was the chosen one, and, you know, HBK had his, you know, had his back in that day. So basically, this is probably a play on that going forward, saying, you know, he's the one. he was that one, and this is his chance to show that he's the one and beat Randy Orton. So this is HBK just coming just to, you know,
to sell.
Even though they say coming, to talk about what happened to Ric Flair, but it's still that aspect with Drew that plays in there as well too. So
yeah, y'all know Shawn Michaels coming to sell.
Of course.
And he will sell it well.
He will. All right, guys. So we went through NXT. We went through SummerSlam. We said what makes sense for us, which, like I said, for Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, which means half our shit ain't going to happen. So I guess the next time we get together on the push, we can talk shit about how WWE should have did what we told their dumb asses to.
And my favorite quote will always be, cut the shit, WWE. Cut the shit.
All right, y'all. Well, tell everybody where they can follow you.
THELIBRAICON is not the librarian. It is the Libra icon. I guess I've got that for over 10 years, so I just want to clear that up right now on all platforms. And yeah, that's all I got for that.
So you're not Peter Avalon.
I am not. I am not.
Blue pants.
Huh?
Would you smash blue pants?
I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
Groovecast. All right, who's up?
All right, well, continuing the Creepcast theme before I get to this, I would just like to say that there is a dark order that I would like to give Anna Jay. But people can find me at Oigo Las Voces. That is OIGOLASVOCES. And in case anybody didn't understand what I was talking about when I asked what my Twitter handle was in terms of the WWE title match at SummerSlam, it is I Hear Voices in Spanish. So that'll tell you where that went, so you don't need to worry about context clues or anything. But yeah, we go last post this on Twitter.
Don't follow me because I'm boring, but Mo_Reese.
It's a damn lie.
I am boring as hell, folks. Don't follow me. I'm like Big E. Don't give me your petty follows. Because I look at you like, who are you? I'm not going to talk to you. No, you catch me in the hashtags, cutting up. Or catch me somewhere trying to tell Dwayne, you know, you gotta remain out chill and out chill presence and everything, you know. So.
Yes, sir. Something bummer, baby. All day.
All right, and y'all can follow me at Shaolin Shogun, MA. Don't forget the MA, motherfuckers, because I worked hard for that damn degree. All right. So
I know, right? Degrees are hard to work for. God damn it.
They are very hard to work for.
A lot of money to spend. I'm like, damn it, you gonna put some respect on my
a lot of money, that debt. This shit is serious. Y'all gonna respect them letters.
you respect them letters, shit.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next time on the push. Peace.